Beauty is pain, and pain is beauty.
Moisturize young, early, and often.
Hey, Liz, come over here. Let me put a little eyeshadow on you. You want some mascara?
Don't pluck your eyebrows.
Beauty is what you think is beauty.
My mother pointed out to me that many women use a register of their voice that's much higher than their natural register to sound younger, more innocent.
Beauty is pain.
That's how you keep your skin tight.
Florida Center for Cosmetic Surgery. Just one look is worth a thousand words.
Welcome back, guys. The SOS Pod, episode 3.
Episode 3. I feel like all my highs have been just really high.
Hi!
I'm like, well, that's not natural.
Sometimes we're on wine, sometimes we're on coffee. Today's a coffee day.
Yeah, because it's a daytime recording today. But welcome.
Welcome.
This is our third one. And we're really proud of this episode, actually, because, I mean, anybody can relate to this.
Yeah.
And if you heard Molly from the last episode, we're talking to women, but we're talking to men, too. So if you got a man in your life, or if you are a man, buckle up.
That has women in your life.
Right. Buckle up, sit down, get comfy, because we're going to talk about some uncomfortable thing.
Yes. I mean, kind of, but like not even that controversial. It's like widely accepted that there's, so basically we haven't even talked about what it is. It's about the ideal woman and the recreations of what that looks like through the decades for beauty standards and ideals for women.
So what's your relationship with beauty? When you hear beauty, like, is it like a negative feeling right away?
You know what's really weird? I have always been very, very much into it because to me it's artistic expression. Mm-hmm. Even before I could comprehend that it was like could also be to hide flaws or as a modification, it was joy and pure expression. But my mom is almost like my whole life never owned a thing of makeup, never didn't take much interest in fashion or makeup or anything. And so then it started to skew for me and I started to feel bad. Like it made me shallow for being into certain things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's been a massive theme and I've evolved through it throughout my life. But at its core, for me, it's been joy and expression. And then I was kind of like, she didn't even teach me this, but I kind of in my head put a little halt and was like, wait, is it not good to care about these things? Because does it make me vain or
oh, you those do, things you judge yourself.
In. Yeah. Those things creeped in later, but my natural instinct for it, which is what I've come back to now. And now I appreciate it about myself and I embrace it because I love it. I love creating and with makeup, it's like a canvas and paint and fashion is the same. What's your relationship with beauty?
Well, I mean, as you heard,
yeah,
my mom and my sister, they have similar voices to me, but they both say, and this was a thing when we were talking about our own, like, you know, kind of quotes or advice that we all were kind of born with. Beauty is pain is what I've heard since I was little. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I view it. It sounds pretty negative, but it's a very natural thing. It's not a negative feeling. Like when I say beauty is pain, it's kind of like, that's it. It's just kind of like, you know, we get our periods. It's like a natural,
it's like a necessary natural evil.
Yeah. Sacrifice. It's just something that because you're so young and I had the opposite, than you with my mom had every makeup ever.
My gosh, like she
it was just so like, she was good at it. It wasn't like she caked it on or anything like that. She was just, she had been creative with it all her life. So I just watched that. And I mean, I had my own complexes with how to, I guess, fix myself.
Right.
You know, when it comes to my eyebrows needing to be waxed every fucking week or like dark circles run in my family. So such a complex with that. So like my early days was just concealer.
Oh, like just trying to hide certain things. Yeah.
But when it comes to like, besides makeup, like beauty standards, I feel pretty privileged because I've been so petite my whole life. Mm-hmm. So it's just annoying to hear. It's just kind of a thing of just like, I haven't thought about it. And that's yeah. a privilege of mine, really. Because I haven't thought about having to fit this frame.
Right.
You
right.
know, like my tits are really small and I barely got, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a little bullied for it, but I don't fucking care.
See that? Yeah. Because that's actually, I remember that too when I, and I've always been pretty like thin and lean as well. And my insecurity in like high school and middle school, what I was teased for was exactly that. It was like not having a boob.
I don't have a boob.
I had one, but the not other just wasn't there. Right. Not having a butt or boobs when I like, especially like middle school, high school, late bloomer kind of thing. But at the same time, I did have the like legs and stomach that everyone wanted, right. but I felt insecure because I didn't have womanly curves. I didn't feel like a woman. And that's like, and then there were girls that I admired who had that curviness, but for them, they were insecure about being too curvy and they wanted thinner stomachs and thinner legs. So it's like,
yeah, the grass is always greener.
Yeah, the grass is always greener.
Well, that's interesting. Well, we're going to go into that later.
Yeah.
Because there's, I mean, I'm sure anybody listening will be like, well, I have baggage when it comes to beauty. And we all do. But what we found that's really interesting is just how beauty standards have changed throughout the decades.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to give so many props to Molly because she did this fucking badass like outline.
Dude,
of the
I went off. It was so fun because I was, you know, the idea was go through the decades and see what the beauty standards were, and you kind of think you have an idea, especially as women who are into beauty. But I learned, so I felt like I was doing research for a school paper, but it wasn't an assignment, and it was just like pure. I mean, I was like having so much fun with it. Yeah. I learned so much too, because even if you know, oh, this was the standard, it's like, oh, this is why. Yeah. And it's fascinating.
It is fascinating.
And I think like even, I mean, I'm obviously not a man, but I feel like I know my dad and my brother are interested in this stuff too, because it's relevant to everybody. It's every man knows a woman, came from a woman. But at the same time, a lot of these standards, they're set by the patriarchy, and not to get too political, but it's true.
It is.
And it also, it's not all beneficial for men either. So
no.
Yeah, there's a lot here. But we started.
We started, I had added some things from the 1920s because we are in the roaring 20s now.
Yeah, 100 years ago.
So we're going to start from the roaring 20s back in the day.
We're going to do like a little brief timeline from the 1920s to 2020.
To 2020, which we have.
By decade.
Whew, we have some thoughts on.
Yeah.
But we were talking about not having some testicles. Oh my God, I meant chesticles.
Her face. We're talking about not having. Look,
we don't
have either.
Oh my God. Okay. Okay. Well, we don't have boobs. We don't have a boob.
Just one.
Yeah. And in the 1920s, that was actually in trend.
Yes.
It was all about the less cleavage. It was all about, because before then, I looked it up too, is the curves,
corsets with corsets and Victorian boobs popping out of the.
So in the 20s,
you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
So I think in the 1920s, as you'll see throughout the decades, there was always like a rebellion from the previous in some way. And then in the 1920s, it was all about petite, narrow, boyish figures. And like, oh yeah. And they also started like shortening their hemlines.
Yeah.
So the legs were like, I think, the sex appeal. They would wear garters.
Should have been born in the 1920s.
I know. And I find it interesting that we're in the 20s now. And I'm like, maybe it's going to shift. And maybe I don't have to. I mean, like, I like wearing like cinched things.
Yeah.
But I think there's something to like that, like the pictures from the 1920s. When you
flappers.
See the girls in the flapper. Yeah. With like the straight and narrow. And it's like, you can have a food baby and it doesn't matter.
Shift dress all the way with some fringe.
Yeah. But yeah. And a beauty icon from that era is Mary Pickford. And I found that, but I don't know who that is.
I was just going to say, I don't know who that is. We don't know.
Yeah.
But. Google it. Do you want to do the 30s?
Yeah.
You researched those too.
Did I do the 30s too? Oh my God, you're right. But so the 1930s comes in. And because I said about the rebellion, there was a bit of a rebellion in the 30s too. So mm-hmm. they kind of, it shifted a little bit. It was a very small comeback with curves, but it was more prevalent on the less like, Jean Harlow is one of the beauty icons okay. of the 30s. And I was reading her bust was a 36B
uh-huh.
or 34B, which is what I am.
Uh-huh. That's crazy.
And I'm like, considered. I think she was just wearing a lot of padding because from what I know, and I can maybe Google her image, yeah. an image of her right now, I feel like she had a bust. But the fact that like... Mm-hmm. That was in,
but and it's that was considered too.
Yeah, it's yeah, exactly. Like it's how you wear it,
cinched in your waist. It's like so many factors.
Yeah, so they definitely got more fitted for the silhouettes to be shown. Mm-hmm. There was another thing that I found fascinating, which is the bread diet.
I've never heard of that.
I know. I found that fascinating. So I think the bread diet was in the early 1900s as well, or like the late 19th century, I can't remember, and then made like a huge comeback at the end of the 30s.
The bread diet?
Yeah, it was basically this thing, and the American Institute of Baking kind mm-hmm. of like took control of this and had all these ads that came out that was like, if you want to lose weight and have energy, eat six, I think it was like six helpings of bread a day.
What? The exact opposite of what it would actually do to
lose
you?
Weight, but I think it was also losing weight, but you would gain it in the areas you'd want, like your bust and your butt.
Which is not possible.
Which is not possible.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Six helpings a day. And then but also it's like you'll have energy from the carbs.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Wow. Such a scams. Advertising is a bitch.
Yeah. Scam. Scamation.
Into the 40s. So that was the decade of like the classic pinup girl.
Yeah.
And that was the height of the Hollywood golden age. This is interesting to me. So this is when tanned skin was perceived as a symbol of high class for the first time in modern history.
Oh, wow.
And even see, when they say tanned, when they say tanned, I look at pictures. It was like not like we think today.
Yeah.
It was just it wasn't the pasty white anymore.
It was a little bit more natural.
Yeah, more natural. And so this is also when the padded stretch cotton bra was introduced. Mm-hmm. And so it was like the pointy boobs, padded and stretched. So the idea was to minimize the waist and create the ideal proportions. I read an article in on idealiststyle.com, and this is a quote from them, that the 40s was the awakening of the unholy union between body image and public media, leading to an externally influenced perception of the ideal of beauty.
Hmm.
And the icons of the day were Bette Davis, who was called the Betty. Girl with Betty Davis. Typo. Or no, I spelled it right.
Yeah,
the girl with the $1 million legs, Rita Hayworth and Ava Gardner.
Wow. Oh my God. I love, do you know Betty Davis?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I of those ones, I think my
and Rita Hayworth,
Rita Hayworth,
I feel like she, yeah, you just know where to have that hourglass.
Yeah, yeah.
The hourglass frame. But give me the 50s, too.
Oh, the 50s. So those, okay, that is when it got kind of crazy because the 50s were dominated by advertisements. Advertising had like this massive boom in the sense of it was illustrating what one should buy. The focus all throughout the 50s was to focus on becoming a better, happier, and more desirable wife. It was all centered around catching a husband, pleasing
exactly.
your husband. And so the effect was like the effect was the creation of this 50s image of a glamorous woman at home who's able to attend to all domestic chores without a hair out of place. And it was like rule number one to never leave the house looking sloppy.
Could you imagine?
And like, oh my why? God. If I'm home all day and all I'm doing is cleaning and laundry, and I would say cooking, but let's be real, I'm not going to be. Why would you be dressed up to the nines in your heels and your makeup? Like,
That's psycho.
Bizarre, because it's not even... I get the rule of never leaving the house looking sloppy because it's being seen. So then I'm wondering if like everyone thought that everybody else was at home in perfect outfits cleaning, but no one really was. Because one would see.
I know. I'm trying to think of pictures of my own family from the 50s. And I feel like, I mean, they were done up.
I feel like it. But then everything looked more done up to us because they were still wearing mainly
style.
Dresses. And I don't know. That was... Okay, so that one, definitely in the 50s, the hourglass body type was the most desired. So, and it was corsets and girdles became like the main undergarments. And it was advertisements of these garments. I looked some of them up. They were, they promised a better life, even though they were known to be uncomfortable. It just, that's what the promise was, a better life. It had nothing to even do with your body shape, which is obviously what it was for.
Yeah. So basically the better life that you need to have involves being,
yes, having what they called a wasp
absolutely
waist.
Beautiful. A wasp?
Wasp waist. Like, you know how wasps have this like bubble and then it goes down to like nothing and then it comes back out.
Oh my God. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. It was bizarre. And the, so they also, there was like a dichotomy between what women were supposed to be, because in the 50s, they were told to dress to allure, but also rarely show lots of skin. And it was the idolization of like this soft, coquettish woman with overt sexuality. So like just straddle the line perfectly.
Right. But it doesn't matter because you'll never actually fulfill it, because I'm sure there's going to, no matter what, you're going to be. See, it makes so much sense too, because in the 50s, wasn't there a boom in prescription drugs taken by housewives?
Yes. Yes. And like, it was like the launch.
I mean, I don't know about Xanax specifically, but antidepressants.
Yeah. And that was the age of like martinis at home, like just
alcoholics.
Yeah. Yep. Straight up. Well, and that was also the decade that Playboy launched in the 50s, just for reference.
Right.
Beauty icons Marilyn Monroe, Bridget mm-hmm. Bardot, and Audrey Hepburn. Audrey Hepburn obviously was an opposite body type.
Yeah.
But she wasn't the norm.
Right.
But she was idolized, obviously.
Yeah.
60s?
Yeah, 60s. So again, with the rebellion of all that. I mean, it's not a healthy rebellion because, you know, people like Twiggy was the icon of the decade. And she, by then, her name was Rail Thin.
Right.
So that was really popular. The start of feminism was in the 60s, mm-hmm. which is fun. I mean, I'm trying to think of like feminism in the 60s and,
well, feminism
and how different it is and how that kind of...
In the 60s was also basically just white women.
Yeah.
Because black women were still fighting for racial equality and, you know, obviously still are. But like feminism in the 60s, obviously, I know you know, but it was like so different from what it is now.
Yeah.
Too, because of how other things have changed.
Yeah.
But like, it was mainly white women, and then the hippie era.
Yeah, the hippie era, and like they would be more androgynous.
Yeah,
they'd have the kind of, I think like shift dresses too were in style too, kind of like the 20s.
Yeah, yeah, kind of. It was much shorter.
Yeah,
like mini. But then it was interesting because, there were like two polar opposites. So you're either the androgynous hippie flower child, or you're the modern swinging 60s woman. Mm-hmm. And so it was basically like, you know, you're going, you're like Twiggy.
Like Sophia Loren.
Yeah. So you're either like wearing the, you know, the hippie movement favored no makeup at all and like very no maintenance to low maintenance hairstyles. Or you're like the thick spider eyelashes.
Oh my God.
Thick
the thick ones. Yeah.
So it was kind of like, but that's the thing about beauty standards that you and I have talked about is, you can't escape it. And there are so many women that think they're escaping it by doing the opposite. And you're actually very much not escaping it by rebelling against it, because you're creating
a new standard.
That's why there's two beauty standards in each era, because
that's true.
The rebellion becomes its own beauty standard. It's bizarre.
I know. I'm like thinking of the one we'll get into today.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And in the 70s, we see, which is great, like the end of the housewife era. But I feel like the 70s.
I think I could have thrived in the 70s.
I know. I mean, because we are naturally thin too, because like the 60s, naturally thin was still fucking in trend.
It was actually the beginning of the quote unquote thinking thin phenomenon. Mm. Like that's when that became a term and something for women to aspire to.
Yeah. I mean, cocaine.
Yeah.
Studio 54.
Right?
That was just, I mean, didn't people use that for to keep their weight down? Wasn't cocaine a thing?
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, and that was like, 70s was interesting because it was like, there were both sides. There was the ultra glam Studio 54 look, like Bianca Jagger, who I think is gorgeous.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I pin her images on Pinterest more than anything.
She's stunning to me.
Yeah, she is.
And then it also was like the beginning of the bronzed beach look.
Yeah.
And so that was, the tanning booth trend was popularized in the
70s. Oh, that was the 70s when it started. Interesting.
Farrah Fawcett, Cher, and Bianca Jagger.
Oh, yeah, Farrah Fawcett was so tanned. And these were all these women were pretty thin. Was Bianca Jagger super thin, though? Was she more voluptuous?
I'm not sure. It's what I researched, it said it didn't say much about like hourglass shape or not, but it was now they're just focused on being thin, and it said it was like more of a free-spirited new ideal. The ideal was youthful and naturally skinny woman with a tan and rosy cheeks. That was like the vague. And then you picture all the like bronze beach look, like the supermodels starting to come out and the feathered out hair, and they all kind of were like tanned with a little blush, but nothing crazy unless you go to the Studio 54 glam look of the 70s. So there's kind of, you know, there's always more than one way to do it, but women are still confined to certain options, you know?
Right. And you say supermodel, which leads right into the 80s, because that was like the huge supermodel boom.
Yes.
I feel like the 80s, it was weird because you had like these supermodels. You had Naomi Campbell.
Oh.
Right, that was the 80s. Was that the 90s?
Yeah, Naomi Campbell, the beauty icons like Madonna.
Yes.
Elle McPherson, the body.
Yeah, the sex appeal was such a thing in the 80s. Yeah. And also Jane Fonda. I mean, she is so iconic with her workout videos.
Oh, that reminds me, because in the 80s, that was... there was an aerobics obsession, obviously, and that made me think of it. And it emphasized fitness for women. And the female body at that time was expected to maintain a certain weight, but still appear toned, but not too muscular. It's like all these buts that you need this, but not that, but not that.
It's like the '50s. It's like, you got to be this perfect housewife, but it's like amount of sex appeal, but not that much.
Right.
So you better find that line.
Find this balance and be this perfect thing.
We turn to drugs.
And then in the 80s, it was like the ideal size was still fuller than the 90s and 2000s, although there were enough body restrictions that it was still causing eating disorders to skyrocket throughout the 80s. Like they jumped up massively from the 70s to the 80s, and nose jobs were on the rise. Yeah.
I wonder, I guess plastic surgery at that time.
Yeah, it was starting for sure.
To tell women to just completely change. And if you can't work it out, we got a knife for you.
Yeah, exactly. That's insane.
We got a knife for you. Like drumming.
She's doing like a knife and fork action, like cutting steak.
You know how they do it. You know how surgeons do it. Oh, God.
The 90s, which is a favorite of mine, but it's also really fucked up when I really started researching.
I know, because we were children of the 90s, so it was also something that we saw.
Nostalgia. But the 90s, so that was, okay, so my research said, you know, it was also the beginning of, quote unquote, the rejection of fashion, which is when like the casual chic look was in and more relaxed and playful form of beauty. That's what, you know, there was like all the grunge thing came in, and there were like platform shoes and crazier, like more lighthearted fashion was one side of it.
Right, because the 80s was so big when it came to fashion with the shoulder pads.
It was like make an impact.
Super feminine.
Yeah.
Even the suits were super feminine.
But the shoulder pads were
get the suits made a woman's feature so... Am I saying that right? A woman's body... shape, you know what I'm saying. And in the 90s, it was the opposite. It was like, we don't have to have a body. I mean,
You can dress basically like you can dress like a boy in a plaid shirt and grungy jeans and still be sexy if you are thin enough and you have the heroin chic look going, like some
exactly
Kate Moss
underneath it. Yeah, you need to be swimming in the clothes.
Yes,
basically.
And so there was a more relaxed and playful, but at the same time, so the 90s had two beauty ideals. On the one side, there was the glamazon supermodel, like Cindy Crawford, Naomi Campbell was still there, obviously. And they had like athletic but curvaceous figures. So they were like they had boobs, but they were still obviously very thin.
Yeah.
And then you tall. Had Kate Moss, who was like the beginning of the waif look and
the heroin chic.
Heroin chic, extreme thinness. And at this time, it was still considered overweight to have a large butt or thick thighs.
I remember the whole thing. I think that got big in the 90s, that whole like, does this make me look fat? Like,
yeah.
I just remember like hearing that.
Or that was in some.
It's so many things those in movies, pop culture. Yeah. Just like the wife asking the husband or her girlfriends, just like, does this make me look fat? Does this make me look fat? Look at my, like, what? That's when having an ass, which is so
was
funny.
Bad.
Like, it was bad. That's just crazy. Like, oh, your ass looks fat. Your ass looks fat. Like, oh my, like Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yep.
Like that was kind of a rebellion song to that.
Right.
The white Eurocentric ideal of having a flat butt because no, then you're fat. You're fat. And, like, but oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. It is so big. You say that like, cause Nicki Minaj basically turned it around and be like, that's great. Like,
right.
Ideal. Like you want that big fat ass.
I know. And it's really weird because it's like all of the when you really lay it out and look at the decades, it starts to just look, it's all so fucking arbitrary.
Yeah.
Like, that we care so much like about one thing when 10 years later,
it's gonna
20 years later, it's going to change.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we've talked about eyebrows where like women in the 90s, a lot of them, like it was very thin, plucked eyebrows.
And the 2000s.
Like overly plucked eyebrows. And now, you know, it's you want bushy, natural, grow them out. But the thing is, if you over pluck your eyebrows, you can't really go back. You have to like draw them in later. So there's all these women who like fit into that in the 90s. They did what they were supposed to do. They plucked it and plucked it and plucked it. Who now are like, oh shit, now I have to fit into this. So now they're getting eyebrows tattooed on. They're drawing them on, microblading. And so it's like, don't we all see, I say this like to myself as well. None of us escape it. It's like, don't we see what we're doing? Yeah. We do so much to fit into one thing, knowing full well that it's going to change later. And then only to get to that point later and be like, fuck, I fucked it up. Well, now I got to fake it. And in the 90s, it was like plastic surgery and dieting trends were blossoming.
I mean, come on. Eating disorders.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everything. And like, we just watched Fiona Apple's acceptance speech at the 97 VMAs.
Yes.
And basically it's go with yourself. Like, she says, because it's such bullshit.
Yeah. She like got up there.
Love and are addicted to.
Yeah. It's insane. Like the human mind is just fascinating.
Yeah. Because I mean, it's how you present yourself. It's identity. It's like, if I don't know who I am inside, then on the outside, I'm going to fix it.
Right.
That's, you have control.
But it's also weird because there's also a side to it that, like I mentioned earlier, it's expression and joy and it's fun.
I know.
And so it's like, well, why? I guess the question for me always is, am I doing this for me or not? But then people get confused because like, well, yeah, I'm doing this for me because I want to feel good around my man. And it's like, well, then you're actually
not doing it
for your man or a man or...
Yeah.
And so it's this weird thing of like, what I know that I've done, I remember going on a backpacking trip with my family. One time in particular, it was like my whole childhood, but one time I remember, it was just the four of us in the middle of nowhere in the woods. I didn't have a cell, like none of us did. It was like literally no one's going to see me. And I remember still bringing, and I didn't have a mirror. That's a bizarre thing. I brought like a little tinted moisturizer and I like cared about what clothes I brought, even though they were going to get dirty and I knew. And I remember my mom saying to me afterwards, because I would put it on in the morning. That's when I realized that A, it is for me. Mm-hmm. It's like, and it was a ritual for me. And that's what I liked getting up in the morning.
It is a ritual.
Putting it on my face. I couldn't see what my face looked like. I don't care what I look like in front of my family. And I'm in the goddamn woods.
Yeah.
So literally I could eliminate, but that's like the only way I could. I didn't think about it like this at the time, but looking back, I'm like, that's pure proof to me that for me, it was for me. And I remember my mom saying that to me and then like, in admiration, not like criticizing at all.
Yeah.
But like, she's like, I remember like realizing that that was for you. Like there's no other reason that you would bring that. And so it's not all, I don't know. I look at it in one sense and I'm like, it's all arbitrary. It doesn't fucking matter. Why do we chase these things? And at the same time, I'm like, it's art and it's fun and it's, and things evolve through the decades and it's cool to watch the evolution at the same time. Like, where do we land?
And I think that's too why when I was talking about the 60s and 70s, like the feminism, and I said that in quotes, I mean, it is feminism because women were trying to find whatever trying they could to have equal control. To, yeah. Yes, exactly. But it's interesting because, you know, with the bra burning of the 70s yeah. and with, I mean, like feminism in the 90s was just, I guess, that kind of rejection of fashion, like you were right. saying. It's like, how can you be...
tomboy.
Yeah, how can you be a good woman and like makeup? How can you... or a good feminist.
Yes.
And, you know, it's like, with the bra burning, I get that movement. But it's like, what if I want my tits to be perky?
Yeah. Well, know? That's what, like, you and I talked about, where it's like, if you... The branch of... because when feminism gets a bad rep, I think it's because people think, A, that it's promoting the dominance of women over men, and that's not it. It's actually just the equality. But it's this thing of women being like, if you shave your legs, shave your armpits,
right,
wear makeup, if you do anything, like if you wear heels, you're succumbing to the man and you're not feminist. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, I'm like, if you are a woman putting more restrictions on women and basically saying that to be taken seriously, a woman cannot be wearing these things, how anti-feminist is that? Yeah. To say that you can't be sincere in your feminist beliefs if you're wearing heels or makeup. And to hear feminists, quote unquote feminists, say that to me is bizarre, because I'm like, you're literally putting women in an even smaller box. And you're saying only women who wear no makeup can be taken seriously. I mean, that's the opposite of feminism.
Oh my God, that's so prevalent today.
Yeah.
You know, with women trying to be taken seriously.
And- yeah.
I know.
Move on to the 2000s, like, sister.
I know. All right. Well, here we go, the 2000s. And what an interesting era, because that's when we started to actually...
And it's an unfortunate era.
With makeup, yeah. It was really confusing, too, because mm-hmm. nothing was real. Like, I mean, think about Britney Spears.
Yeah,
it was
16 all years old.
16,
with her, like all
baby
those
one more time. That was like she was a schoolgirl.
Yep, a men's fantasy, but she's actually a teenage girl.
Oh my God, it's so disgusting, and
it really is.
It's something that I think about too, because this is when a lot of the Me Too moments happened. Mm-hmm. When pieces of shit that had a lot of control over yeah. that industry, and like how we were being perceived, and or whatever fantasy that like it was. During that time.
And it's interesting because when that stuff was coming out, you and I were like 9 years old.
Right.
And I idolized that shit. I mean, I wanted to be a singer, so there was that layer to it. But at the same time, I was like, I wanted to look like a them, you know.
And Baby Spice?
Like, oh my God. I wanted to look like Scary Spice, but yeah, I didn't have much hope.
Right.
She was my favorite.
I forgot we talked about that.
But it was also like, you know, Beyonce, Destiny's Child, Christina Aguilera, all those girls that in our mind, they were like, they were older girls and that seemed fine. And we idolized them. But now looking back, I'm like, holy shit, they were 16 and 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And they were being dressed like... the stage outfits were more like lingerie, and the music videos were like more like soft porn. That's what it was described as in the research I did from like the 90s to the 2000s. It was just this hypersexualization of like you said, virgin teen stars.
It's so gross. Oh my God. I mean, like silicone, like I feel like everyone had fake boobs mm-hmm. in like the 2000s. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was huge. I feel like there was more extensions. There was more fake everything. It just got bigger and bigger. And obviously mm-hmm. we'll get into where we're at now later. But I mean, you can see where this is heading.
Right. Victoria's Secret model.
Oh, yeah. That was a huge thing.
2000s, like boom.
Yeah. Tyra.
Yep. Yep. Giselle, yep. You know, all of those. That was very much an aesthetic in the 2000s.
Yeah, absolutely. And then... I mean, with that, because obviously eating disorders didn't go away and it will most likely yeah. never go away now, but it peaked so much.
Yeah.
And then you talk about this, because this is a crazy fact that you found.
Yeah, this was insane. when it comes to eating disorders. So by 2007, eating disorders were at their peak in Hollywood. And this is insane. So from 1999 to 2010, so 11 years, the death of famous people from anorexia was as much as the number of anorexia deaths of famous people the entire rest of the 20th century.
That's so crazy.
Or the entire
20th century.
So
yeah.
for the entire sum of fame. And this isn't even people. Like this first, is famous people.
Yeah, the first 10 years of this century, of the 21st mm-hmm. century, there was more deaths of famous people
from eating disorder.
Yeah. Than the entire 1900s yeah. combined.
And it was just like this insane. Oh, also anorexia, but also tanorexia became an actual right. term.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you were tan time. And thin.
Tan and thin. I remember hearing, actually remember hearing women say, as long as you have a tan, you'll look thinner. That was like it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it was just like, oh yeah. Got cellulite? Just get a tan. Just get a spray
yeah,
tan.
Yeah, you can. Mm-hmm. It's acne too.
Oh, you're, yeah.
People got for, if you're they right. had bad skin, mm-hmm. They would just tan.
Right.
And then they would have this even skin tone, which is really hilarious. You're doing it for your skin because that
it's
literally will
actually
lead to skin
damaging
cancer.
Your skin really bad. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's so crazy.
And that was like, you know, the 2000, it's like the pop star stuff. It's Jennifer Lopez, Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like curvy came back after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but
like
Paris Hilton
then.
Was still strong. But yeah, curvy
oh,
came back.
Oh, true. I mean, you had that both. Kind of the, yeah, that balance of like people mm-hmm. were super thin and slender like Paris Hilton. And then you also had like Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
And Beyonce.
And there was like that really unfortunate, in my mind, like trend of low rise jeans and everything mm-hmm. low rise where like you still I'm just pick when I picture that look I picture girls with like you saw that a lot on like Paris Hilton type body types where everyone wanted to be thin mm-hmm. you have like basically no butt but then the pants go like really low.
Oh my God, it's so
just
weird.
Super weird.
Yeah, everyone wore. I mean, I had.
I had a too. I saw a picture recently from I was like 14.
And
I
the
was
crops because
this.
Oh, you know why? Because it was all about abs.
Yeah,
like abs was huge.
Crop tops
in the early 2000s.
And low rise.
Crop tops. Yeah. So that's that because abs was so in.
Yeah,
it which was on is display.
Weird, though. They were on display, but in my mind, they're better on display with like regular pants and crop tops. You don't the low rise plus the crop tops to me gives like.
Yeah,
I don't like the look.
But remember, like Pink, even I remember.
Oh,
her,
she was.
She would
ripped.
Have like that kind of the V.
You're right.
I mean,
right.
like I think Britney did too. It's like
yeah.
women that were like working out all the time because they had to for
yeah, that was coveted
their profession.
For sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like for men and women
yeah.
was that fucking V. Like being buff, I feel like was mm-hmm. bigger in the 2000s, and I think
you're right.
You know, it wasn't like a huge. You wanted like. Yeah, I mean, Hourglass was in, but I feel like the 2000s, because they were rebelling against the 90s waifness.
Yeah.
Like, they were, it was more accepting of
Bootylicious
like.
Bootylicious started coming back.
Yeah, like.
Or coming
an actual feminine body was mm-hmm. being more.
Within reason.
Right,
if
exactly.
You're, if you're a curvy girl, you're still like, what does that even mean anyway? Because people call like. You know, those supermodels like Giselle and they call them curvy and it's like, well, cause they have boobs, but like, what about like when talk of Lizzo, yeah. like the, where we're,
well, that's the thing too. It's like, you know, for white women, it's like,
yeah.
this is what curvy is for us. But black
right.
women have been like, fuck you. Like what yeah. are you talking about?
Right.
Like we've been curvy. Like, what can you say new that we haven't already started
right.
at this point, which brings us into the 2010s.
Exactly.
Which, I mean, we'll both go because this is just like, it's no. just, it's mind blowing where we're at now. I mean,
yeah.
oh, we're not in the 2000s.
No, just left it.
Well, I mean, like.
It was so long
let's
ago.
Let's talk about the beauty standards of the 2020s so far. Well, we have Kylie Jenner appropriating.
See, that's the thing. That's what we've seen more of. We were talking about the 2010s was, the first thing I thought of was Kardashian
yeah.
style looks.
Yeah, they are the ideal.
And
Kim
I know
Kardashian is the ideal.
That they've been around for longer than that. But the thing is, it's when it was just in the last however many years that I really started seeing the contouring makeup that
oh
like.
Oh my God,
oh
yeah.
Oh my God. It's like you could, if I were to like. Scratch someone's face, I feel like I dig into the layers of makeup, like so much makeup.
It's interesting though. What I find interesting about the contouring and the makeup side of it, it's like I struggle with how much I judge it because I hate the cakiness and I hate it all. But it's interesting because if you're not contouring, you're putting needles in your face, right?
Right.
It's just like, what is really better?
Yeah.
One's cheaper. You know,
and also, yeah. And you can't say which is better because person to person, it's different.
Yeah.
Because like I actually have no. I have questions when I see somebody who's had a lot of work done.
Yeah.
Those I have questions.
And we live in Los Angeles, so.
Yeah, it's scary how normal it is to see. I have questions, and I'd be lying if I said I didn't have judgments, but I notice them, and then I remind myself, no, questions would need to be asked first, because what I do want to know is, and not that they would have the answer, but why are they doing it? Is it because I've talked to some women who got boob jobs, and it was, and I asked them, like, friends in the past, and mm-hmm. it's genuinely, from my perspective, which actually doesn't matter. It's whatever you want to do. But, yeah, like, I've talked to them and have been like, okay, it does seem like it's for you. You know what? Do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. More power to you. I just don't want anyone to do something because they feel like they have to fit a certain thing. And obviously that's where this all comes from. So it's like this big, but I'm not against shit. Like, I don't care if people get
complicated. Botox I think it's allowed to be a complicated issue.
Yeah.
Because like I said, with the other, you know, decades where feminism was getting more and more prevalent, because mm-hmm. it's like, how can you consider yourself a good feminist and get your boobs done?
Exactly.
How do you live your best life as a woman? How can you look at yourself in the mirror at the end of the day?
Right.
But
well,
I mean,
it's unfeminist to, as a woman, to judge another woman for what they did to their body,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly. But it's natural too.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't have work done.
Mm-hmm,
So I wonder what women, when they have work done, do they look at other women who have more work done and be like, wow.
Right. And at what point does the body dysmorphia start to the level of exactly. just get a little more. And then you don't actually have perspective anymore. I see some girls around LA walking around with these butts that I could like set a glass on top of. Yeah, and I'm like, what it looks like
it
to me.
It looks so fake.
Yeah. And what it looks like to me, I have to believe it doesn't look like that to them or they wouldn't be doing it. So that's when I wonder, like, how does it skew so far?
Is it okay if it looks more natural? Is it like okay in that respect? Like, at least it's good work.
A lot of those women think that it does. Not all of them, but I think some of them. But that's what I mean by body dysmorphia. Like, you do it's like when you're putting on makeup. Like, some days I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do a little bit of lipstick and I'll do a light color. And by the end of the night, by the end of putting on my makeup, it's like this deep red. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going with this now.
Right.
But as I'm putting it on, I'm not even realizing necessarily how dark it's getting until I step back. And then mm-hmm. I'm like, oh shit, that's like deep red. And I think that's kind of what happens too sometimes when it comes to not a permanent implant, but like fillers where it's like a little more.
Well, I had friends that visited me this week that went to get work done.
Yeah.
And the doctor was telling, you need this. You need, no, you
what?
Need this. And they did it. And they need, you need, oh, no, you need that. You need these kind of fillers.
Oh my God.
You need this. And I can't imagine if I went with them, if
right. They start
pointing
things at you.
If they had told me that, I don't even know what I would do, because like I'm a human woman. I'm not like this perfect. I love myself completely. No, I'm gonna take a stand.
Yeah,
like against this.
No, it's weird.
But I might be sensitive enough and manipulated enough.
Yeah.
By this rich Beverly Hills plastic surgeon to be like, okay, maybe I will spend $900 on this filler. Like I do need this. Like someone who doesn't know me, that's their profession, and being mm-hmm. like, you need this, like.
And for what? Because nobody seems to ask the question of like, I need this in order to look like what? No one checks that, like, to make sure that what they're trying to bring you to is what you actually want to look like. No one asks that question.
No, it doesn't matter because there's a standard.
Yeah. And we know people that like going into debt, spending money they don't have. You know, like in LA, again, it's a city where that just happens. And I know women that have done that. And it's like,
yeah.
And it's more like I say these things out of curiosity and like, because I'm not here to condemn anyone. I don't live the life that anyone else has lived. But it's just like examining it, being like, wow, willing to go this far, then there's something to dig into there. Like why? And
it's crazy.
So weird. And one of the things that I've thought is that like, this is like an open question. Like, what is progress? Because we consider progress. And I do think that these are important and good steps. That's why I'm like, I don't have an answer. So for example, more body sizes being in magazines, mm-hmm. super important, more skin tones, mm-hmm. massively important. All of these things that are very important. And like women taking more control of the beauty industry by rebelling against Photoshop and airbrushing. Yeah. And now it's more like embrace, you know, embrace stretch marks, embrace pores. And you see more of that.
Yeah.
And
as we're trying to be more woke, right?
Right.
It's like, no. Women Photoshop.
In more positions of power in those situations and taking, okay. So it's weird because it's like women trying to take more control over this industry. And those are important and good changes. I will say that. But my question is, in this attempt to like bite the patriarchy or bite back, we are actually still in pursuit of the same thing, which is beauty. It's still at the top, top of the pedestal.
Yeah, we'll never forget it. It's never not going to be.
Well, so in that case, my question is like, are we even... Women are we being fooled into thinking that we're making a difference? We're not actually moving the needle. We're changing certain areas. Now it's beautiful to be more natural, to be or to be less airbrushed or whatever, but we're still focusing on what is the most beautiful.
Right. And who are you doing it for?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And
and why? And you know, exactly. It's like, are we gonna become this natural, beautiful person because we want to, or because now these beautiful extra beautiful models that are now featured because they're not airbrushed anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a crazy, I mean, good for them. They're fucking beautiful. Telling you like, okay, well, I have all this contour makeup.
Yeah.
I have the Facetune. What do I do with this? Do I not even fucking try anymore?
Right. Because that's the irony where now that models are Photoshopped and airbrushed less and using less makeup and you see their pores in the picture and they're using more quote unquote naturally beautiful or very symmetrical, abnormally accepted beautiful women.
Which is, you can see positives in it.
Right. That's the bizarre. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's also like, now I can't look at the picture and be like, wow, she's gorgeous. Well, she has all that Photoshopping, all that makeup on. Now I look at it, like you said, and you're like, well, no, that's just how she looks. I'm fucked. It's weird because I don't want all the fake shit in my face.
I know.
But I also, I mean, where does it end? And what is beneficial? Because it's like, yeah, those are good things. But it's not like women are still not controlling the industry or controlling the beauty industry. Otherwise, we would be focusing less on beauty.
Yeah.
I don't know. Answer is.
No, because it's super complicated, and especially when, you know, you say that too, because I remember over the weekend, The Bachelor had premiered, and there was a girl on there, and we were looking at her up on Instagram, because all the girls there are going to be influencers no matter what.
Yeah.
And the influencer culture is also a whole thing, and a beauty standard that is wild, because you don't know whether it's fake or not. And I say that because when I was looking with my friends at this one girl's Instagram, like, she's so beautiful. And we're like, she has to have had work done. Mm-hmm. She has to. And it's like, you don't even know anymore. It's like,
right.
I can't tell if that it's natural because there's so many things available now.
Yep.
Like with the fillers that you can achieve that natural look in a fake way. So Go ahead. So I don't even know. No, go ahead. Cause I don't, it's well, like.
It reminded me because Alyssa and I were talking about like at the end of this episode, where do we leave it? Like, so what? You know what I mean? And we were like, well, maybe we predict the future. Like, we predict what we think might come next or whatever. And when you saying that, I mean, this is like super sci-fi, but at the same time, I'm like, that just reminds me, you know, you've seen movies where like some people, there are full robots walking around, there are full humans. And then there's people who have had certain parts. Like, I might have my like face is robot, but my arms are human, like weird shit. And so you saying like, now we are at a point where some girls, it's obvious your lips are like fucking, yeah, we but know
it's available.
But at the same time, there's very, very natural work done that's subtle that you don't know. And so I think in the future, it's going to be even more meshed together in the sense of like more people are going to be like 50% fake, but we will not know. It's going to be.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just like even with the less airbrush look, I don't trust it for some reason.
No, I'm not even talking like photos anymore. I'm talking real life. Like the girl.
Oh, no, that's true. That's true. But that's what I mean. Like even if they are less airbrushed, right. I don't trust that that's their natural look.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? I'm just like, no, because if they're models, then let's say, you know, they've already had a bit of money leading up, whether it's from Instagram or just from actual professional modeling. Mm-hmm. They'll have the money for the fucking products that cost $1 billion, for the facials, for, you know, very minimal, non-invasive work done.
Right.
So, yes, they're less airbrushed, but Does the airbrushing actually tell you what is natural?
To fit into that standard.
No.
They're still fitting into that standard. They're just, I don't need makeup for it now because I had this, or they don't need.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's the Kardashians too. Like, they get so much.
Oh my God.
Work. I mean, like, for them, it's more noticeable on some more than others.
You know who blows my mind is Bella Hadid.
She has so much work done.
Oh my God.
I mean, again, no shade. I feel bad. You know what I mean?
It's, I know, because, like, it is shade.
It's shade, but like, a lot of the supermodels now have so much work done.
Yeah. And so I'm kind of like, I'm not even, like, not even Hailey at them. Bieber? Like, I don't know these women. I just have questions.
Like they, the Kylie, her face is completely different.
God. Before they're even fully developed, in the sense of, like, you getting some of these girls, at, I don't know them specifically, but some of these girls are getting stuff done at like 18 years old.
Yeah.
You're actually, oh my God. I think it's what, when you're 25 is when you're like, features are fully developed. When I see pictures of myself from, so obviously some of it is natural change with women too, but there's a difference. Yeah. Like, I see pictures for myself in college, even, where I'm like a 22-year-old, 21-year-old woman, and I still see more baby fat in my cheeks than I have now at 30. And so it's like, your face isn't even done doing what it's gonna do, and you're already putting shit in it.
Yeah. And that can be more damaging in the long run.
Yeah.
And it's, and I feel bad because, not that I feel bad, but I feel like, you know, the Kardashians are, I mean, like, the 2010s, and I'm sure the 2020s that we're in now, mm-hmm. like, they're going to rule in some way, and they were, and they are ruling. And with Kylie, whose face is completely different, it's like, a side of me is just like, what the fuck? Like, seeing her face, it's telling all these girls on Instagram that they have to look like that. And if they're not going to look like that, they're going to face tune to look like that.
Yep.
And it's like, fuck that she's old enough to know now. But also, I think about, like, she was raised since she was a little girl to looking up to her older sisters who are getting work done, who are valuing beauty over anything else.
Very out of touch with.
And she was bullied. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she was bullied for I don't even know what feature. Yeah. Like, have you no lips?
And
right.
And the thing that, like, really bothers me.
So she's a product of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I don't think anyone disputes that.
Yeah.
It's very sad. But it's also like, she's not helping the issue. She's just promoting that cycle. Because it's like, then you have these celebrities, or influencers rather. Obviously, some are celebrities, but promoting products. So they get all this work done.
Oh, like the sugar bear hair.
Yes.
Which I almost bought the other day. So, like,
you get your hair extensions in, and then you promote a hair vitamin, or you get your, like Kylie, you get your lips injected to the fucking moon, and then you promote your lipsticks like it's going to give girls these lips. Or these girls who are like, they use the apps to make themselves look thinner and thinner, and then they promote a skinny tee. It's like it's so messed up.
I mean, even Beyonce photoshops.
Yeah. Oh, everybody.
Like, remember, but also did you see that editing came out? Like it was, like, obvious. Like, you could see the...
Oh, like a body, like the, Photoshop?
Like, yeah, thing? The furniture behind her being warped because of the... Like, see? That's crazy. Even Beyonce photoshops her pictures. That has to tell you something.
Yeah.
Even, like, she is the beauty icon.
Someone, like, universally accepted as one of the most beautiful women in the world still feels like they need to meet up to something.
Complexes up the ass. I mean, come on. That's crazy. That's and you're insane. Talking about, like, the... It's interesting too, because literally right before we started recording, I was telling Molly that I have this, like, thing where when I have an allergic reaction, it plumps up my lips, and that's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about that, and it's like, great, what a great allergic reaction symptom, you know? I'm like, you know, instead of, like, sneezing or my eyes being swollen, it's my lips, right? And it's like,
not a problem.
Not a problem. That's great. But, like, but I do sit here and I'm like, I have that tinge of judgment of girls that get their lips done. And I'm just like, well, at least this is happening naturally. I just bought hundreds of dollars, well, $100 worth of plumping, like, lip liner and plumping lip gloss.
See, that's the bizarre thing is that, like,
I judge it, but I'm trying to do the cheap way.
Right. We all
of attaining
see,
it.
See, that's the thing. Is like, that's why I say, well, yeah, we're human. We can't say anything. It's not like everything we've said has been without judgment. It is, but it's also just examination and curiosity, because it's like, I don't have the answers. I don't claim to be free from it. I don't claim to, like, So I do see things and like, yeah, I look at these really fake looking boob jobs and I'm like, what the fuck? But have I ever wanted bigger boobs? Yeah. Like, I'm not going to
lie. Oh, I wear padded bras all the time. Not right now, but I wear them all the time.
And also, as much as I love having small boobs, you don't have to wear a bra with a lot of shit. There's a lot of benefits. But if someone were like, hey, I'm not talking the crazy double D boob jobs. I'm saying if someone were like, yeah, you could have one cup size or even a half cup size bigger, would you want it? I'd be like, okay. So then it makes me question so many things. But then at the same time, you don't want to beat yourself up for just like, I mean, there's, you don't want to do damage to yourself. Like you're saying with your allergic reaction.
Yeah.
If part of you is like, that's stupid. I shouldn't be. So what should you be like mad that you're having an allergic reaction? You know what I mean?
Or mad that my lips are like now plumper in my face.
Like this isn't my natural lip shape. It's like, you're actually just flowing with it. Like, okay, cool. And yeah. So like, where's the middle? Where's the line?
I know. And it's like, and are we, because we're not fucking millionaires that can afford to get work done all the time? Like, are we just mad because they can afford it? Like, what would we do if we had like fuck you money where we can also do that all the time? Why are would women we do it?
Doing it who don't have the money? The debt thing is crazy to me.
Yeah, that's true.
There's, yeah, you're good. It's a good question though.
Okay.
It's
if like, we were like worse with our finances, I guess, then would, you know, I don't even know like if I had money
and like, what else do I need? What else could I spend?
Like, not even like, not a boob job, but they do something to like make them perkier or just
like a lift,
Right. An enhancement, or I mean like fillers, fuck it. I mean like they go away. Botox is super, super common. And it also is, super temporary.
Yeah. And certain things don't actually bother me or spark a lot of questions in me. Like, Botox, whatever. Like, yeah, I've seen it done bad. I see women that look crazy. But at the same time, I'm like,
it goes away.
All right. Like, it doesn't, it's not as bizarre to me as like the insane body modifications. Botox can go insane, though. That's what I mean. Was the body dysmorphia type thing where like a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. It can go crazy, too. So I guess anything, I guess I'm thinking about this right now. The question for me more is, not that you'll necessarily achieve it, but why would anyone want to look unnatural?
Right.
So,
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Is it bad to feel bad for women that do that?
I know, because like, isn't that more a reflection of us than them?
Yeah, it's also just like, that's what a piece of shit. Like, oh, I feel bad for you. Look at your fake ass. Look at your fake
tits. What I mean.
Feel
that's
so bad for you. That's, yeah, that's like exactly more of a reflection about us than them somehow. But then, I don't know, there's something to that too.
I know.
It's like, who hurt you?
I know.
You know?
And I'm like also assuming the reason I feel that way sometimes is because I am making the assumption, and I would bet that I'm right, but it is an assumption, that they're doing it for the wrong reasons. And I don't know what all the right and wrong reasons are, but that's an assumption I make when I am judgmental about those things, I think.
Yeah.
And therefore then it is.
And the Kardashians, like I really have a complicated view on them.
Oh God, the cultural appropriation at its finest.
That's a thing too. And I found that interesting when researching a lot about how we ended up here, basically, like with that kind of body modification, like we just basically flipped all these Eurocentric ideals on its head and became obsessed with melanin and black body types and the culture
body types. But white women achieving those body types are what are making it blow up. That's the problem.
Exactly. It takes white women blowing it up to be this thing. Now, every white woman has like this fake ass, these fake tits. And
what made them want it.
And the lips, you know.
Literally. And these are broad statements, so like it's not obviously with everyone. But what makes white women want to get that done is like, I don't even like making broad statements like that. But
I know,
what makes women want to get that done is people like the Kardashians who are not black anyway.
I know.
And that's what's so fucked
but
up.
But we'll do photo shoots making them look super fucking dark.
Dark skin, black hairstyles.
Yeah. And it's interesting. It's like, why now? Like, why is black
because they're bored beauty of everything else?
Right. It's like that rebellion that's been happening every decade. And that's ours now is just to be like, actually, like, that's what we want to look like. Fuck the white waif look.
Well, and it's so weird because even though that is becoming the standard, my problem with it is, while I think that I personally, and as a little girl, like I've looked at, recently reflected on this because I was having a discussion with my friend about race and like our view on ourselves when we're growing up. And she's black and I'm white, obviously. She was asking me questions about growing up. And personally for me, the women I thought were the most beautiful growing up were all black women.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is because of traveling, and then my parents, like our house was decorated with like all these things.
You were exposed.
Yeah. But even like, Scary Spice was my favorite. From Saved by the Bell, Lisa was my favorite. I thought she was incredibly beautiful. Mm. Laura from Steve Urkel.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
All the way down. I mean, it goes on and on. When I really have all these memories, the drawings I drew as a little girl, I found like an old sketchbook when I was like 11, and it's all these African women, like in detail, their lips, wow, noses, everything. It's not like just drawing white features with black skin color.
Right.
It's like,
yeah,
black women I have always found beautiful. So what bothers me now about the fact that now,
but
everyone's finding,
that's super rare. That's a super rare experience.
But I said that to explain what I'm about to say, which is like, while I do think those are the most beautiful features in women, are what black women have, what bothers me about the fact that now everyone's universally thinking that is that I feel like if you hold up a picture of a white woman with those features and a black woman with those features, most people still will find the white woman with those features more beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I haven't tested that theory, but that's what
no,
I believe, and that's why it bothers me so much.
No, it's true. I think I remember watching, there's a study online, or a video rather, of this person. Oh man, I wish I could have shown this to you beforehand.
Yeah.
But here we are. But it was like a really interesting video where they show these little girls of all races, two pictures of like, I don't know if they're dolls or pictures.
I've seen this.
Or like cartoons of like a black woman, a white woman, and you say which one's the good one.
Yes, I've seen that.
Or more beautiful.
Yeah, they say the good one.
Yeah, and I think even like the black children even, yep, pick the white women.
All the little black girls and white girls chose the lighter skinned one.
Yeah.
Because they are also told that black is worse than white.
Which is interesting, especially now because that video is not that old. You know, mm-hmm, with like Beyonce and Rihanna and Nicki Minaj and all these like beautiful black, well, I don't know how natural.
Yeah, Nicki Minaj.
But
yeah,
you know, with all that and all these women, and you can see them on Instagram trying to look like them. It
right.
doesn't matter at the end of the day.
No, it doesn't.
Because white is still,
yep,
in power.
My dad told me this story one time when he was living in Niger when he was in his 20s, and he was there were a bunch of girls playing soccer, and he was standing next to his friend, and his friend was native from there, and all the women playing were black, and the guy, my dad's friend, asked him, they were watching the girls play, and he asked my dad, which one do you think is the most beautiful? And my dad's like, he's like, I remember I was watching them, I was looking at all their faces and looking at all the girls, and I pointed to one that I thought was the most beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he's like, I wanted to look at them for a minute. And then I chose, and I said that one. And he's like, and I asked my friend, which one do you think is? And the guy, he goes, well, obviously it's that one. And he points to one girl, and my dad was like, well, why? Like, you didn't really look at them all. And he said, well, she's the lightest.
Oh my God. And wait, what was the race of the friend?
He was black. He was from there.
Oh,
from
interesting.
So that's what my dad has told me a lot of. And I've noticed in traveling, but my dad has spent more time in West Africa, like years and years. And he's like, you know, a lot of the cultures that I go to, even where everybody is dark, everyone is dark there. And still that it's universally accepted among them that the lightest tone in the room is the most attractive. Mm-hmm. And that's insane.
Yeah. I mean, skin bleaching is so,
yeah,
it's still so powerful.
Yeah.
We're you know, in Africa, and I remember like there was like a huge thing with like the Dove campaign.
Yeah.
Had ads, I think in Africa, about skin bleaching, and it was like Dove.
Whoa.
Dove, like a huge brand. In like Korea, in South Korea.
Oh, yeah.
Skin bleaching is really prevalent.
There's like all of these. I remember going to a drug store in China because I was 17 when we were living there. And so I was very much you know, like teenage girl, like trying to, and I was so, because I hadn't heard of this stuff, and all the bottles said skin bleaching, just regular. I thought it was like face lotions. Yep. I started seeing it on everything, and I was like, what the?
Yeah. It's so fascinating. It's especially with those two cultures specifically. With the black, it's like skin bleaching.
Right.
And like Asian, you think that's weird because they already have very light skin, but it doesn't matter.
Meanwhile,
it needs to be fair.
All the white girls are using tanning stuff. It's
exactly
insane.
Exactly.
This conversation, one of the things that like spurred this topic on was a book that I read or that I'm reading, but it's a collection of essays. So I want to plug that because I think everyone should. It's a short essay, so it's not like a whole book to read, but the book is Gia Tolentino's book called Trick Mirror. It's a collection of 9 personal essays, and the one essay that I read was called Always Be Optimizing, and that is a deep dive into what we're talking about why. Yeah, just read it if you have interest in what we're talking about, and it's not a whole book, it's just one essay of hers, Always Be Optimizing. I highly recommend that for further resource on this topic.
Yeah, there's another article too that I love that I we said this last time about show notes, but I don't know, we said where to find them and where we're gonna end up putting them.
The show notes are in the podcast, like if whatever platform you're using to listen to us, there'll be a section called show notes. We'll put it in there. We haven't figured it out yet.
Great.
It'll be there.
Great. We're learning together. But there's a really beautiful article called The Perception of Beauty Standards by Laurencia Amfo Acid.
Spell
I can't
it for
pronounce
them.
That, but it's beautiful. It was on a website called melaninass.com.
Alyssa's homepage.
Melaninass. I love it. It's a really beautiful article.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I recommend reading that too.
And Alyssa, I have to give you a shout out because she did research for the promotion of at the end of every episode, our charity or nonprofit that we choose to promote that's relevant to this episode's topic.
Yeah, so I found a really great nonprofit that is basically, because we're talking about beauty and I just wanted to like shout out to girls, and I found this one. It's literally called Girls Incorporated, and it's a charity youth organization dedicated to inspiring all girls to be strong, smart, and bold. They provide vital educational programs to millions of American girls, particularly those in high-risk, underserved areas.
Oh, cool.
And then today, innovative programs that help girls confront subtle societal messages about their value, potential, and prepare them to lead successful, independent, and fulfilling lives. So if you're into that, please visit girlsinc.org for more info and to join the cause and donate.
Awesome. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
I know. I was like really happy. Early and it's deep.
Yeah.
Okay. Next week, to get you guys excited for episode 4, we get weird. We get rude. We get honest. Confessing our dirty secrets that range from questionable to downright sinful, while asking ourselves, are we, quote, air quotes, bad? Like, how black and white is bad and good and our impulses? And so play along and think of your own misdeeds along the way and whether we are all morally beholden to our indiscretions.
Yeah.
So it's like lighthearted and it'll be some funny stories and sharing, but at the same time, it's just posing a question about it, good people and bad people and where do we all fall? So,
And you know, we're not criminals, so please forgive it. We're going to get juicy, but we haven't beat anybody up. Yeah,
yes.
You might when that episode.
I've been close, man.
I have. So, and it's interesting too because I think we talked about a little bit in this episode about like, are we bad for judging someone like Kylie? Like, I think it's a really interesting topic that I don't know what people are talking about. So,
buckle up. And also, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at @thesospod and Twitter, same tag, thesospod. And we'll see you guys next week. And here's to turning meltdowns into magic.